Shalom to everybody. Tonight we're going to learn one of the main topics in the philosophy of Rav Kook. And it's something that we've touched upon a lot of times before, but today we're going to learn it head-on and grab the ox by the horns, as they say, and let's get into it. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, reads as follows. We'll get into the share screen. Okay, if you remember, we were talking about several different types of healthy things that the Gemara is talking about. And as we've seen in the past, Rav Kook doesn't relate to them just as health-oriented things, because especially today we have doctors. Even in those days they had doctors. But there's symbolic ideas that come out of this. So the Gemara here says, Rachatz bechamin, if somebody washes up with hot water, v'lon ishtatev betzonen, but did not wash up afterwards with cold water, domel barzil, it is like taking a piece of metal, a rod of metal, shichnisu la'ur, and the metal was in the burning fire, v'lo hichnisu letzonen. And if you didn't put it in cold water afterwards, then it's not going to be as successful. And again, Rav Kook is going to talk about the symbolism here. Let's see it inside. Shnei kochot mitachdim bevinyano hachomri varuchani shel adam. In mankind, in society, in culture, in all of mankind, throughout the generations, there are two drives, there are two powers which apparently contradict. Koach ha-po'el, there is the drive to change things, to be on the move, dynamics. She'al yado ha-adam muchan laharviach dvarim chadashim. When new ideas come into the world, and since the time of Rav Kook for the last 120 years, we just keep getting new ideas. This is the technological advancement of the modern world. And so one aspect is to be a little flexible and to be open to the new ideas. Kochot chadashim l'umat hayishanim. And to accept the new ideas together with the old. If there's an old idea which is stagnating, so maybe move it aside for a new, more modern idea. V'chomarim chadashim tachat otam shekvar einam tzolchim lemelachtam. Right, there are certain materials, like wood, for example, that if you don't keep it up, if you don't do the upkeep all the time, is just going to rot and go downhill. V'koach hashomer, on the other hand, just like there is a drive for dynamics in the world, there is also a drive of to be conservative, just like there's a drive to be liberal and open to new ideas. Mankind also needs a certain conservatism, with a small c, ha'otzer et asher kvar hirviach, which holds on to that which mankind has already acquired. Now notice, it's interesting, even when we have new ideas that we do accept, we also need that koach hashimur, that conservatism, to keep it, to make sure that we don't lose the new ideas. In other words, inevitably, we need both. And Rav Kook here is talking about two basic types of people, two basic drives that run throughout mankind. By the way, some of you may be familiar with this halacha. After doing a Hagalat Kelim, after koshering metal utensils in boiling water, right afterwards we put them in cold water. And that's actually halacha. And that's what the Gemara is talking about. And now Rav Kook is going to discuss the metaphysical aspect of this law of physics. Why is it that when something is hot, it's good for that metal to put it into cold water? Not only that, I'll foreshadow a drop. Rav Kook is going to point out that the fire of the heat that makes the heat and the water, which is the cooling agent, fire and water are opposites. And nevertheless, those who are used to Rav Kook's philosophy can already see where he is going. As we see in the headline, opposites not only attract, but actually prove the essence of God and help us understand the world. Okay, so let's go on. Paragraph Bet. La'asot et melechet harvacha. Ra'ui she'adam yeh yoter muchan l'shinuyim. If a person wants to benefit, he should really be open to change. Old ideas, whose time has run out, of course, should be moved to the side. Lirakut ulehit pa'alut. There is an advantage to being flexible, to being soft. Ulehit pa'alut. Hit pa'alut is to be influenced. Here you see that Rav Kook is saying that when the heat molds the metal into the shape that you want, or with the help of the heat, you mold it into the shape that you want, that is an outside influence which enables to change the changes that are needed. In other words, flexibility is good. But as we'll see, not too much flexibility. Om Nam. And for those who've been learning with us in Ayah, we know that the word Om Nam, on the other hand, is the key word in the whole book, because, and that is our topic, that on every given issue, there is the thesis, there is the antithesis, the antithesis, and then what Rav Kook does is the synthesis. How to take the good of both aspects, the truth of both aspects, and harmonize them together. Okay, Om Nam. So, on the other hand, Li'inyan HaShmira, regarding to keep the conservative approach, keeping things, Li'inyan HaShmira Tzaricha Adam Liyot Mukhshar Biyoter Lematzav Shel Kosh Yutachomer. We need to harden ourselves sometime, and that's what the cold water does to the hot metal rod. V'chein davar noheg b'midot uv'tchunot ha'nefesh. Rav Kook here spells it out that God created this world and the next world, the physical and the spiritual. And part of the beauty of this physical world is that it helps us understand the metaphysical spiritual world. And here Rav Kook is telling us that just like in physics, it's good to heat up the metal in order to do with it what you want, that flexibility. On the other hand, you need the water, which is the conservative, cool down. Yesterday I was at Hesped, a eulogy of an old friend. He was in his 90s. We were on Shlichut at the same time for Bnei Akiva, Kaddish Goldberg. And at the Hesped, his grandson, who had learned in yeshiva, and as is usually the case for young people, they go to yeshiva, they get excited, they get motivated, they ask questions about their elders. Sometimes they're even cynical when they see that the kibbutz isn't acting properly. And obviously the grandfather and the grandchild, they were speaking in Hebrew, but the grandson said, "My grandfather then told me in English, take it easy." And that's something that older people have to sometimes remind younger people. That on the one hand, as we've seen in the past, we need the younger people to make the revolutions, to make the changes, to bring the world to a higher level. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. On the other hand, we need the older people to keep us a little conservative so that the young people don't do anything dangerous. If I were to draw it as two aspects of the world, you'll notice this duality is so consistent. It is, on the one hand, like we see, the conservative, which is Shomer, which wants to keep things as they are. And, on the other hand, there is the Poel, to change things. There is the older approach, as opposed to the younger approach. There's the conservative approach, as opposed to the more liberal approach. There's Midat HaDin. Midat HaDin judges right, wrong. That's a framework. On the other hand, Midat HaRachamim is, we need a flexibility. If the world, as Chazal say, God created the world with Midat HaDin, that's why Elokim, Bereshit Bara Elokim, God's name literally means judge. In the first chapter of Bereshit, God is called the judge, because he wanted the world to be based on justice and truth. On the other hand, in chapter Bet, he had to add on Hashem Elokim. Yudke Vavke is Midat HaRachamim. And both are necessary. Also the flexibility, and also the justice. This duality is seen in terms of the redemption. Redemption is big changes. On the other hand, it's good that there are some older people, the Charedim, for example, who keep us honest, making sure that all the changes that we're making are good and legitimate and for the better. There is the, on the one hand, the hard. On the other hand, there is the soft. There is the closed, as opposed to the open to new ideas. There is the stationary, as opposed to the moving. There is a static, as opposed to dynamic. There is the conservative approach is more atzmi. It is more me. In other words, it's more basic. That's what we know is true. On the other hand, the new ideas are mushpa. They are usually influenced by outside. And, like on all these examples, Rav Kook is saying is that we need both. We need to be open to new ideas, but we also have to be conservative. Don't overdo, don't go head over heels over the new ideas. If you will, this is the same idea, the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaalpeh, where the written law is written down. You can't change even a letter in the written law. That is super stationary, super conservative, given. That is the Shamur. On the other hand, the beauty of the Torah Shebaalpeh is that it rolls with the punches. And the oral law, that's the job of the rabbis, especially when we have a Sanhedrin, is to adapt life in every generation to meet the needs of the Torah. I just thought of a modern twist on this. There's a big machloket. Obviously, I'm not going to take sides, and obviously there's truth in both. Within the religious Zionist community, I don't know if you heard that there was a letter signed by first-rate rabbis of the religious Zionist community against Rabbi Eliezer Melamed and the Pnine Halakha set, where it's really the same thing. There are these rabbis who are more conservative, who are telling Rav Melamed, you're making too many innovations. This is not what our grandfathers did. On the other hand, there is a Rav Melamed, who part of the beauty of Pnine Halakha is, again, it's a classic oral law. It deals with all of the new technology, all the new questions. And inevitably, whenever somebody deals with something new, somebody else is going to say, hey, that's too new, or too new of an approach. And again, we need the liberal, and we need the conservative, and that's what Am Yisrael is based on. And the two, and that's what Rav Kook is going to say now, the two do not contradict. And the whole idea is to take the good from both and to have that dusiach, that conversation, to make sure, to make sure that each side takes the best from the other. And as a whole, we all benefit. Okay? So let's continue. I see that not everybody heard that Kadisha Goldberg passed away. I'm sorry for breaking the bad news, Derech Agav, but I thought that everybody had heard already. Paragraph Gimel. Harechitza b'chamin. When the Gemara talks about washing the body in hot water. Mirakechet et aguf. The idea, it adds flexibility to the body. Umachshirato leheyot nifal biyoter. And opens it to be flexible. By the way, everybody knows that one of the secrets of the success of the Israeli army, obviously the main secret is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, that he's on our side. But if you look on the ground, the Israeli army, it's known that the officers are at the front. And that enables them the flexibility to change the plan according to what's needed. And supposedly one of the big problems in Vietnam was that all of the generals in America were actually in America. They were in Washington, in the Pentagon, and they really didn't understand what was going on in Vietnam. And by the time they got messages, and they thought, and they decided, and they relayed their orders, that order wasn't always applicable anymore. And again, this is the beauty of the oral law. Which, again, Rav Kook is reading into this the symbolism of the heat of the on the middle. Nifal biyoter mikoach ha-chayim harudebo, v'tov ha-davar ma'od v'toelet chalifi ha-chomarim, chalifei ha-chomarim v'chidush ha-kolchot. And the idea of the heat, and also washing with hot water, is to take off the residue, to take off the unwanted foreign elements, things that have, their time has passed. Aval imze, but together with this, tzaricha adam la'atzor bekirbo et koach hashmira. We have to also, don't just be too flexible. We also need that stationary aspect. Shelo liyot yoter mi'amidat alul rakot ulechilufim. Because if we're too flexible, then we'll just lose our whole shape. And we will be flexed out of ourselves. We'll lose ourselves. Al ken sarichu l'shituf tzonen. And that is why, again, after you heat up the metal or the body, you should also wash it with the cold. By the way, I understood we were in the bathhouses in Beit Shan. They have a lot of old Roman bathhouses. And supposedly that was the process, that they would, everything was done gradually. And after you wash your body with hot water, and afterwards you would put on cold water. V'hu domeh le'echsher koach ha-poel she'nimtza ala barzel b'chnasato ba'ish, she'az yutzlach la'asot mimenu kli ma'ase metukan. That is the way that you can make the utensils usable. Aval kedei lishmor et asher na'asa b'siyu ha'ish, once you have bent the metal to the shape that you want with the help of fire, mo'il koach shu ligamrei hofchi. You take something, a power, which is the exact opposite, water, cold water, vehu hachnasa lamayim. By the way, Rav Kook is already going to deal here, I'll just foreshadow a drop, the idea of, in paganism, where there was always, among the different gods, primitive man spoke of the god of fire and the god of water, and he saw them as opposites who were fighting it out. On the other hand, let us see what Judaism has to say about these opposites. Let's look together, in first of all, in Source 2. Rav Kook writes a very interesting sentence, about himself and about his generation. He says, in the modern world, Zoti tchunat ador, ubifrat ani, she'ani tzarich la'ached et hakol. He says, especially myself. He says, my nature is to harmonize everything. And that is what the world is looking for. By the way, there's a talk that I've given many times on why the writings of Rav Kook are so popular already. It's 100 years that his writings are super popular. And one of the reasons is because we live in a world where there's just so much knowledge and so many different opinions, and everybody is getting confused. And that's what part of what postmodernism is about. And comes Rav Kook, and he makes Seder. He harmonizes, taking the thesis and the antithesis and then synthesizing them together. And just like in music, harmony sounds good. Okay, I'll try and mute everyone. Here we go. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Just like harmony objectively sounds good, even somebody who never learned any music, when he hears harmony, two voices harmonizing, three voices harmonizing, it just sounds good. It sounds complete. And Rav Kook says, this is the need of our generation. Not to go to this extreme or to that extreme, but just like children, little by little, mature, so too in the macro, mankind has matured and we already do not see the world in black and white anymore. We know that there is a need for harmony, for a complex Torah, for a complex life. Because society today is very complex. That's what Kibbutz Goliot is about. We've spoken about this in the past. The idea of Likuta Nitzotzot, gathering all of the sparks, taking the Jews from here and from there, and from here and from there, and from all the four corners of the world, bringing them together, that's what redemption is about. It is about harmonizing, which is another way of saying to reveal God's unity in the world. Let's look in source number 3, where Rav Kook actually talks also about fire and water, just like in our paragraph tonight. Rav Kook writes in Ma'amarei Re'iyah, source number 3. Let me see how I can get there. Here we go. Tarti de Satri, the idea of two things that contradict. Hu maskanata higayon hatzar. If somebody has a limited logic, he sees things in black and white. Hey, they are different. And apparently, if they're different, that means that they're not the same. And apparently that means that there must be a conflict. Rav Kook says, this is childish. This is primitive. It is simplistic. Just to say, oh, they contradict. It's either or. It's low by this primitive or childish or simplistic person. Hastira mevia lidei bitul v'chilayon. It's not building, but it is destructive. It says, either you are conservative or you are liberal. And in the name of whichever camp you belong to, you want to destroy the other. Rav Kook is saying that simplicity, again, is good maybe for children, but that is not building. It's not constructive, right? What is constructive? When you take different chomarim, different materials, and you put them together. All right, what is, Dafka Rav Kook has a beautiful explanation on the laws of Melachan Shabbat. What is the law of boneh? To build. So if you build, what is the definition of building? Look in the Rambam. It's to take two different objects and to put them together, and then that putting the two together make a higher level, a more constructive level. For example, if you take water, water cannot build a building. If you take concrete, which is the powder, that cannot build a building. You take gravel, that can't build a building. But if you put the water with the cement, with the gravel, and you mix it together and then it hardens, that is creative. The same thing when you nail a nail into the wall, that is taking two different concepts, putting them together, and now it has a creative use. So it's a beautiful analysis of the laws of Shabbat. Getting back to source 3, Ma'amarei Re'iyah, page 246, Rav Kook writes that this simplistic way is destructive. Aval bo'olam ha'riali, if you look at the world realistically, at the physical world, ein hadavar kein, the world is not based on either or. Shnei yesodot mitnagdim ze leze, mitlachdim yachad u'mevi'im lidei hafraya. How are children made? You take males, you take females, and they can procreate and have new children. Now again, if you go into a kindergarten, you ask, what is the opposite of boy? They'll say girls. But only as they mature, they realize that they are not opposites. And that is the point of tonight's shiur. There is no such thing as opposites. There is something which is an apparent opposite, but in a world which was created by one creator, Real monotheism is there cannot be contradictions. There cannot be opposites. Umikol shechein ba'olam aruchani. How much more so in the spiritual world? And here Rav Kook quotes the Midrash. Michael Sar Shelesh. Michael, the angel Michael, is the angel in charge of fire. V'Gavriel Sar Shel Sheleg. He, Gabriel, is the angel of snow. Osim Shalom Beneihem. They make peace between themselves. It's like in Makat Barad, when God brought down the hail on Egypt. It was cold, it was hail, but it was mixed with fire. How could fire and snow work together? Well, that's God can do whatever he wants. And Adaraba, that is what helps us understand. Michael and the fire don't run the world. Neither do Gavriel and the snow and the water. And as opposed to the Greeks who spoke about Poseidon, the god of the water, and Pyro, the god of the fire, and they're always fighting it out, Judaism says, no, they're, we can call them angels, call it powers, call it whatever you want, but they were both created by the same god, and the idea is for them to work together. Right? The same mazgan, the same air conditioner unit, it's used in the winter to heat, and it's used in the summer to cool down. And that's what electricity is about. Electricity can make something cold, it can make something hot. It can refrigerate or freeze, it can cook. Ubemet besfira shela emuna hagdola vaharachava ena ruchaniyut soteret et hachomriyut. This is one of the most basic ideas of Judaism, and especially of Rav Kook, that the physical and the spiritual do not contradict. Eretz Yisrael is both physical and spiritual. It's the Holy Land. Am Yisrael, the Jewish nation, it's a physical nation which has physical needs and a physical land and a physical economy and a physical army, but our physicality and all those components are spiritual. So the physical and the spiritual are meant to work together. Let's jump down to the end of that paragraph. Lechinta sharya be'atar pegima. Chazal say in the Zohar that the God, the Shekhinah, the divine providence, can only rest in a place which is not lacking. Because again, if you just look at the conservative, or if you just look at the liberal, each one is lacking. You look at the fire and you look at the water, each one is lacking. The whole idea of godliness is that God is perfect, and he created a perfect world, and if you see a problem in the world, it's because of a lack of harmony, that you see childishly, simplistically, those things as opposites, instead of uniting them. Continues. Omer HaZor, avalo ke'ele chelek Yaakov, ki yotzer hakolhu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our God, the God of Israel, he is the one and only creator. Hu echad, ushmo echad, he is one, his name is one. Va'akol al yado mitached u'mitaleh. In other words, this concept of not having contradictions in the world has theological, important, central theological implications. One God, one Creator, and if you don't understand that, then you're missing the boat of understanding the world. V'gam achomriyut advuka l'ruchaniyut mizdakechet migasut prayut u'behemiyut u'mekabelet tzura shel adinut v'hod elyon. If the physical world is just eat, drink, and be merry like animals, without the spirituality, then it's animalistic. On the other hand, in this world, you can't have spiritual without the physical. Not only that, what is the ideal world? Tchiyat HaMetim. The revival of the dead, where the physical and the spiritual will be working together. This idea, maybe we'll just jump back to our paragraph for a second, at the very end of the paragraph. Right, where we spoke about fire and water. She'az oto ha-tzivyon ha-metukan, ha-na'asal yedei ha-esh, mekabel tafkido ba-ofen ne'eman v'kayam. If you don't put it in the hot metal in the water, is not going to stay. It's not going to keep its new form. Ukezein litpale. That's why we should not be surprised. Kishenimtsa kochot ofchiim vishonim. This is a quotable quote. If you want a Rav Kook's anima amin on this topic, here he says it in black and white. That kishenimtsa kochot ofchiim vishonim. When we see powers or drives which are opposite and are different, mishtamshim b'chayim lafakat tachlit echad. They are used to work together in order to reach one goal, chaviva uklalit, to reach that one beloved general goal, ki akol ole l'makom echad. Everything was given by one God, and then it split up into several different Perudim. This is what the Zohar calls, our world is called Alma de Piruda, a world of divisions. Everything started with one God, and then he divided heaven and earth, and he divided light and day, and he divided the different continents, and he divided, all of the 6 days of creation are dividing, dividing, dividing. So the more you divide, the less you see unity, the less you see God. Well, that is the end goal. It starts with all one God, then it divides into even apparent opposites. Let's take the most extreme example. Even things which seem opposites, it's just a matter of time before we learn how to use them to compromise. And as we mentioned in the past, the Zohar says that in a round world, the further you get from one point, the more you eventually get back to the same point. Now, I want to learn something with you that, by the way, paragraph 5, we usually don't bring on the source sheets, modern sources, but this Professor Avi Noam Rosnak, who wrote a book on Rav Kook, he suggests that this is the central idea in the writings of Rav Kook. And not only in the writings of Rav Kook, in his lifetime. Rav Kook took the old and the new. In the famous quote, Hayashan yitchadesh vehachadash yitkadesh. The old has to become renewed, and the new has to become holy. He took the nationalism and the religion, where both the Haredim and the secular pioneers said it's either or. And Rav Kook combined the two. Ironically, and I don't think it's ironic, Rav Kook lived on Rehov HaRav Kook, which is perpendicular to Rehov HaNevi'im, the prophets, which is the entrance to Mea She'arim, and the Yishuv HaYashan, the old Yishuv, which was just religious and anti-Zionist, as opposed to Rehov Yafo, they're both parallel. Yafo and HaNevi'im are parallel to each other, and apparently never will they meet. And comes Rehov HaRav Kook and combines the two. Very symbolically. Professor Rosnak, we don't do the running out of time, he says that Rav Kook really wasn't prepared for this, because in Boisk, where he was the rabbi before in Europe, there already was the beginning of what you could call modern orthodoxy. An orthodox which was also maskilic, also had a secular knowledge, secular studies. And then he comes to Israel and he sees two opposing camps where the Haredim do not allow to learn anything modern, and the young people, their whole rebellion is against, and the whole coalition is that they both agree it's either or, and Rav Kook comes to harmonize the two. Thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. Just another couple examples that Professor Rosnak brings. Hamivgashim alalu emidu oto bitzmatim chadashim shel iyun. Right? These ideas forced Rav Kook to think of new concepts. Yitzira, to create. Vehanaga, and to lead. Shelo bau lidei bitui bitkufat zaimu bitkufat boisk. Rav Kook was the right person in the right place to harmonize all of these contradictions. Shorshava Chasidim ve'alitaim. Remember, Rav Kook, his mother was a Chabadnik, a Lubavitcher, a Chasid. On the other hand, his father was Lithuanian from the Volozhin Yeshiva. Rav Kook grew up in a house which combined the two. Kabbalah and Halacha. Rav Kook combined the two. Mussar and philosophy. Emotion and logic. Rav Kook is all about harmonizing. Now, there is a classic letter, which unfortunately we don't have time to go through at all. That's Igeret Mem Dalet, source 6, where Rav Kook explains to Rav Alexandrov, who is a great thinker, his idea of uniting the opposites. Again, you could summarize Rav Kook's Hashkafa in this idea of uniting the opposites. B'tchila kodem shenitbasem ha'olam, maybe I'll just say it orally. Rav Kook says that when mankind was primitive, and they totally forgot that they have a godly soul, they just kept going down and down. And they were cannibals, and they were taking each other's wives, and everything. They needed yirot. They needed gods to instill fear into their primitive hearts. Now, just like a child, you need to discipline, very often through fear of punishment. That's what primitive man needed. But eventually this primitive man rose and could understand awe, which is a higher level, not fear of punishment, but awe. And then Rav Kook continues, today in the modern world, we are ready for ahava, a world of love. And this isn't just Breslov. You know that today Breslov sells very well because people are looking for a loving God. People are not interested in discipline. That's turning a lot of people off. And the same thing in education. Everyone's telling the parents, today, we need more love than discipline. And the schools, more love than discipline. And Rav Kook is saying this is part of the maturing that mankind had to undergo. Notice that Rav Kook is telling us that paganism played a role. Because having a lot of gods, wherever you go, that instilled that basic fear that a primitive childish world needed. But the world has matured and now is ready for one God. Paragraph Gimel. Hinenu omdim limala mikol hayiyushim. We, in Am Yisrael, and the idea of pure monotheism, we are above despair. We have hope. We believe that there is hope for everything. We don't despair of anything. Again, as opposed to the Catholics, we've said in the past, they say chastity, poverty, obedience, you have to swear off of physical pleasure to be spiritual. Rav Kook says Judaism is not that. Ein zeha monotheism asholelet akisharon ma'asi. Judaism is not a monotheism that says that the world, the physical world, the social world, being pragmatic, that was a mistake? Et achevrutiyut vetayofi. Again, what are the Catholics, the Christians, they say in the what they call the New Testament, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and God to God that which is God's. And again, it's either or. We say, no, the social, half the Torah is social mitzvot, ben adam l'chaveiro. Yofi, the world is supposed to be beautiful. That's what the Beit HaMikdash is about. Hamonotheism hu baduy milibam shel nochrim umiturgam aramit shelo bidiyuk klal uklal. Rav Kook is saying that the Christian world, who claim to be monotheistic, they translate it to Aramaic, and they lose the essence in the translation. Why? Because Christianity says, who mean ein sof musag. They talk about a God who is never-ending, but we can get a handle on him. As a matter of fact, they say, Christians say, the God had a son, and you could hug him, and kiss him, and watch him, and feel him, and he is, tangible. That is not Jewish monotheism. Shehu soteret atzmo, that is an oxymoron. To say a monotheistic God who we can understand, that doesn't work. A monotheistic God that's tangible, that doesn't work. Alkein ya'ale betohu, and that's why Christian monotheism does not succeed. Lo zehu mekor shem Elohei Yisrael. This is not the name of the God of Israel. What is the name of the God of Israel? God has many names. That's the point. God has traits that he tells us about in the Torah, but we can't understand God. Makor hakol hu ein sof habilti musag. God is not ein sof shu musag. God is an unending eternal, but ununderstandable. So if he's ununderstandable, so what are we supposed to do? Shehu mikomo shel olam. Right? Why do we, when we go to a house of mourning, we say, Hamakom yinachem etchem, God is the place will comfort you. God is called the place because he is the place of the world. The world is in God. Shirak al yedei ribui hagvanim, here's the punchline, just through seeing many different colors, many different shades, hamitztabim, different colors, anu yecholim ledaber ba'olasigo, al yedei rov ha'maase verov shalom, through seeing a person who is merciful, another person who is kind, another person who is just, God is revealed. The God, one of the names of God is Shalom. He is complete. How is that? Because in Am Yisrael, we have right wing, and we have left wing, and we have more conservative, and we have more liberal, and every hashkafa, there is truth in every hashkafa under the sun, and that is a God who is eternal and ununderstandable, right? We can't understand God himself, but he is revealed to the world through the different colors, through the different notes of music which harmonize. Ayide rov ahava verov gvura. Again, strength and gvura don't contradict. God has it both. Ze yachol omar Yisrael hakore ze eli van veyu. This is the job of Israel, who can point as if it were to God. We don't point to God as if he has a son, but we point to God through the Knesset Yisrael, through the people of Israel, who encompass and include and harmonize everything. Lo hamonotiismus hashomem umidbari shel ha'islam. Beforehand, Rav Kook spoke about the difference between our monotheism and Christian monotheism. Here he corresponds with Muslim monotheism, which is primitive. It is still in the desert. It is not fruitful. It doesn't show you how to bring God. Islam doesn't show you how to bring God into politics, into having a moral army, right? The Arab armies are the exact opposite of morality. That's primitive, because they don't understand synthesis. Viloa afisa shela budiyut. And we are different from the nothingness of Buddhism. Buddhism says this world is a waste of time. If you want good in the world, dhyana will get you to nirvana, right? Think about the next world. That is where things are good. But Buddhism says this world is bad. We say God is perfect. He does not make mistakes. Ki im ha-havaya ha-elyona ha-misamachat et hakol. God shows us how to make everything happy. There's a time for food, and there's a time for drink, and there's a time for intimate relations, and there's a time for spending money, and there's a time for saving money, and there's a time, how do we know? Well, that's exactly what 613 mitzvot are about, to harmonize it and make the world a good place. Umichaye et hakol, and to bring all of the different creatures that God created, bring them to life, help them develop their potentials. Umidgale al yedei hagilui ha-subjektivi shebelev kol dorshu v'masigav. The Hasidim stress one aspect, and the Misnagdim stress another aspect, and the women stress an aspect, and the men stress another aspect. And even within Hasidut, there's Lubavitch stresses an aspect, and Breslov stresses an aspect, and everyone, Vizhnitz, Bells, everyone is stressing different aspects. And here is beautiful. The Gemara says, what is going to be in the world to come? It says that all of the tzaddikim will sit in a circle. Ve'chol echad ve'echad mar'eh be'etzba'o. Everyone will be pointing with their finger. Hine Eloheinu ze kivinu lo v'yoshienu. This is the God that we were waiting, that has redeemed us. Notice, We are not talking about we can point to God, the God of fire, or the God of water, or Jesus, or anything physical. But what is Hine Elokeinu Zeh? Listen well, is a big chidush. Rav Kook is saying we're sitting in a circle, the Gemara says. How does Rav Kook explain why a circle? Because when I point at the guy opposite me, and I understand how his spark of God harmonizes with my spark of God, that is how we can point at God. The way of seeing God in the world is, again, that tzaddikim sit, everyone together in a circle. Everyone points to his opponent, to his adversary on the other side of the circle. And that is what makes the harmony. And that is what, when we could say, this is our God. Nagila v'nismecha b'yishuato. This is the unity of redemption, where the modern world, modern orthodoxy, religious Zionism, does not say either or, but combines everything. Ashrei ha'am shekachalo, ashrei ha'am shehashem elokav, as opposed to the Christians, and the Muslims, and the Buddhists, and the paganists. Thank God we have the truth. And Rav Kook goes on to say, we don't have time to see it inside, do yourselves a favor and go over it. It's beautiful that this is the idea of Davka uniting the opposites, and to take things hanirot kemezikot, take things that seem to be counterproductive and show that they're productive. And we'll finish off. What does the Zohar, the Hakdama, the Zohar, tell us about the Torah of Geulah? It is a Torah which turns Chashicha l'Neura, where darkness and night live together. The darkness is turned to night. Umariru l'metuka, and the bitter is turned into sweet. Zot haTorah chatim rav b'metivta b'echala d'meshicha. This is the Torah of the Mashiach, and this is, Rav Kook says, this is the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. Physical and spiritual and nationalism unite. Oh, and I can't not mention the final punchline. Shal yada yitached hakoach hamusari, hachevrati, haleumi, vadati, lekoach echad. To combine the idea of the social, the national, the religious, and the musar. And I'll explain this through a story. I might have mentioned this once in the past. When we were in Gush Katif, at the end of the uprooting of Gush Katif, I was outside the Beit Knesset in Neve Dekalim, and all the world, the reporters, wanted people who spoke English to interview. So I was giving a lot of interviews. And there was a guy named Ricardo from Spain, who afterwards I looked him up and I found that he was a very famous foreign correspondent in Spain. And he interviews me and he says, tell me, is there going to be a civil war? That's what everyone wanted to know. Is there going to be a civil war between the Mitnachlim, the settlers, and the army? And I told him, only somebody who does not know us can think there's going to be a civil war. He said, we learn a lot of Musar. We learn a lot of morality, Mesilat Yesharim. The last thing we would want to do is open up a civil war against our brothers, the soldiers, who are just getting crazy, even immoral orders from the politicians. But he said, wait. So he says, but you people are very nationalist. I said, yeah, because you want to hold on to the land of Israel. I said, yeah. But he said, but you're also moral? You learn morality? I said, yeah. He said, usually that doesn't go together. And he says, wait, now, do you people serve in the army? I said, yes. As a matter of fact, the religious nationalists in Israel have a very disproportionate amount, a high number of officers in the army. So he says, wait, you're also in the military, and you're also moral, and you're also religious? Because religious people usually don't go to the army. And he's trying to figure out how all four of these ideas, the idea of being moral, being religious, being nationalist, and being modern. That was the fourth one. He said, oh, so you don't go to university. I said, yeah, most of the people here do go to university. And Ricardo told me, I'll never forget, he says, you know what? He says, I've been around a lot of the world. I'm a foreign correspondent, like I said, a very famous one. And he says, You religious Zionists have something very unique. There is nothing like this anywhere else in the world. That people are also modern, also religious, also moral, and also nationalist. He said, well, let me tell you something. He says, my doctorate is in political science, and you guys don't have a chance of winning this battle. Because if you're not willing to go to war against the army, you're going to fail. But, he says, I have no doubt that the time will come that your group will run the state of Israel. And where Rav Kook is taking it as even one step further, will run the world. Because the world is looking for a way to harmonize these four different ideologies, which religious Zionism, in the way of Rav Kook, show that they davka have to harmonize.